AJ Green looks like he's going to play. So will T.Y. Hilton. And who wants to be the Browns quarterback? Welcome to Wednesday's edition of the Fantasy Football Today podcast, brought to you by Squarespace, who recently launched the latest version of their platform, Squarespace 7, which has a completely redesigned interface, integrations with Getty Images, Google Apps, 15 new templates, and an incredible feature called Cover Pages. Try the new Squarespace at squarespace.com and enter offer code FUN at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, start here, go anywhere. You whispered it. I know you did. Jamie, Merry Christmas Eve to you.
You too, buddy.
And we've got NFC home games to preview as we look at Week 17. I really want to focus on Week 17 and don't want to look ahead to 2015. We're going to do a ton of that during the offseason. I've gotten a lot of questions about whether or not the podcast is done when the regular season ends. The answer is no. CBSSports.com has a playoff challenge game. They've got a playoff bracket game, both of which you can win cash prizes on. So keep your eyes and ears out for that. Eyes on the website, ears on the podcast, and we will help you get ready to win some cash in those leagues as well. There's also FanDuel still going on, not just in Week 17, but also in the weeks to come in the playoffs. I think you guys will definitely enjoy that. And on top of all that, there is the offseason, and it's always the dedicated fantasy football owner who pays attention all offseason long that has the best chance to win when fantasy kicks up again in the summer. And it seems like it's a long way away, but it goes by pretty quickly. Jamie, I mentioned at the top, AJ Green looks like he's going to play. He's got a bruised bicep. Is that the word on the street?
Yep, bruised, no structural damage. So it sounds as if he's good to go for the big AFC North showdown with the Steelers. We remember how that went for him the last time that these two teams met up. Maybe the Steelers will be smart enough not to put Ike Taylor on AJ Green.
I don't know if Ike Taylor's even going to play.
Exactly.
So I get away with it this
time. I think you look at Green as a must-start guy as long as he's on the field.
The news and notes are presented by Squarespace. T.Y. Hilton is going to get back in the swing of things for Indianapolis. The Colts do plan on playing their starters. I went back and checked in 2012. They had clinched their highest possible playoff seed, and their starters still played in Week 17. I'm sure they want to get their offense rolling after getting just pasted by Dallas in Week 16. But Chuck Pagano said something interesting. He said he especially wanted to get the run game going and said that the blocking has to get better and he wants to run the ball. So might we see a little bit more than 8 carries from Dan Heron this week?
I think they have to. I mean, you know, not that Andrew Luck's not going to throw, because I think they want to get themselves right all the way around. But you see it with the Broncos. You probably feel it with the Colts a little bit. You need to have balance in the playoffs. You need to be able to run the ball. You need to be able to hold a lead if you have one. You know, they can't win games with Andrew Luck trying to bring them back all the time. You know, it's been successful for them, sure. But it's not a formula for success to get to where they want to go, which is to be a Super Bowl team. And just looking up quickly, the last time that these two teams met, they gave Trent Richardson 20 carries. He had 47 yards and a touchdown. Bradshaw did what he did early in the season, which was catch a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So they got 2 touchdowns out of them. They didn't run the ball with a lot of success, but Richardson did have 97 total yards. So maybe it's Richardson, maybe it's Heron. I think both can have an opportunity here to play well. I actually have both in my top 30 because I think T-Rich will score.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Heron is a guy you want to focus on. So
yeah, I moved him up.
He should be a starter for a lot of people this week.
Jamie, I'll tell you how I feel as well. The Vikings have released running back Ben Tate, so he's off of his second team. How much of a goofball do you feel like for talking about Ben Tate in the preseason and drafting him? But you drafted him at some point, didn't you?
I didn't draft him. I actually, the dumb move that I made with Ben Tate was I kept him in a keeper league over Josh Gordon. Now, obviously that worked out the way it did. But
you were a loser either way.
Right,
one.
Right.
Yeah. At least you got some numbers from Ben Tate while
he's the only. That's the only league where I had Ben Tate. I didn't think he was going to be great with the Browns. I just didn't like the fit. And I think, you know, the reason Ben Tate was somebody I liked last year was because the team he was on, an Arian Foster situation, and that worked out. So,
well, I mean, I think we both had ideas of him doing better than what he ended up doing this season, like.
I knew he would get hurt at some point. He did. I didn't think he was the best running back on his team. He wasn't.
Which team?
The Browns.
And the Vikings, too, just
for the record. I still think, though, there's going to be, because at the time he was cut by the Browns, the Colts and the Cardinals put in claims for him. And I wonder if the Vikings realizing that, I don't know if this is really an indication of his talent, per se. It obviously is something to do with his, you know, lack of either picking up their offense or being a good fit for their offense. But I also think that they realize he has no future with our team. And I think he can still get on the playoff roster, bother. Right?
Yeah, I think he still can.
So I think they were maybe doing him a little bit of a favor. You see this in other sports more so than football. Cutting a guy right before the playoffs and allowing him to get on a playoff roster. So I wonder if, hey, the Colts are going to the playoffs, they can use a running back. The Cardinals are going to the playoffs, they can use a running back. Let us do you a favor. We put in a claim for you, didn't work out. Go see if you can latch on somewhere else.
We both projected him for 7 touchdowns this year. I don't even want to say how many yards we projected him for because it'll embarrass us. And plus, who's starting Ben Tate this week anyway? Is there any other news that you'd like to bring up? The Browns quarterback situation, perhaps.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be Connor Shaw. They signed Tyler Thigpen, so clearly they're fortifying their depth. That's clearly not a good situation if you're looking at Josh Gordon or Jordan Cameron. Those guys could certainly play well with the quarterback change. We've seen that with Gordon in his history and Cameron as well. But I don't want to trust them going into Baltimore. Sounds as if Percy Harvin's going to be out, not that anybody's starting him. Sounds like Aaron Rodgers is going to be okay. Speaking of the Colts, T.Y. Hilton is seems like he's on track to play.
Mentioned that. Yep.
Same with Philip Rivers, who was able to practice on Tuesday. So we'll see how all these injuries play out. We'll clearly get into it a little bit more on Friday when we have a better indication of the injury report.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that Colts-Titans game and what implications are there, along with the Chargers and Chiefs, which is a big-time game as far as the AFC playoff picture. But that's all going to happen on Friday's podcast. Today's podcast is all about the NFC. Let's start with Chicago at Minnesota. And Jay Cutler is back under center for the Chicago Bears. Hooray! Everybody's excited. Yes. Do you start him against Minnesota? Ryan Tannehill just got done scorching the Vikings defense for 4 touchdowns. Was not afraid of cornerback Xavier Rhodes. And Cutler, who knows what this is for him? Is this his last game in a Bears uniform?
Might be.
Is this his last game as a starter in the NFL? Does he feel like he needs something to prove? How do you see this shaking out for Cutler?
I don't mind him this week if I need a quarterback. Obviously, the guy who has gotten me here, most likely I'm going to stick with. But I think there's a better opportunity for him than somebody, let's say, like Stafford. I like him better than Rivers this week. Mm-hmm. I like him better than Brady this week. He did put up 32 fantasy points against them the first meeting. So there's, you know, that was not too long ago. I think he's going to come out with a typical Jay Cutler mentality of, I don't care what happens. I'm going to chuck the ball around the way I want to. The one thing that I would be concerned about if I'm looking at Jay Cutler is the game plan just to run the ball, get Matt Forte some numbers, let's get out of here because we don't care. You know, so both these teams have nothing to play for, but you usually look at the road team. They don't want to get on a plane. It's holiday time.
Their coach is toast.
One of these two guys is not coming back. Cutler or Trestman?
I think there's a chance both of them are coming back.
Potentially, but it's much harder to get rid of Cutler than it is to get rid of Trestman. So my guess is that, you know, the thing about Cutler is he has a I don't give a bleep mentality.
When you say bleep, do you mean hoot?
Sure. Okay. Same thing. So, you know, I don't think he cares if he throws 5 interceptions in this game. I don't think he cares if he throws 5 touchdowns in this game. I think he just wants to go out there. I hope he wants to go out there and have fun.
I think he wants to win.
Does he?
I think he does. I think anybody that's playing in the NFL would like to win a game.
I would hope so.
And considering his situation and what the reputation is and what the uncertainty of his future, I would imagine he would care about winning.
But he's getting paid. He knows he's going to be somewhere next year. Somebody's going to want him. He's not getting, you know, kicked out of the NFL.
Right, but if he goes out there and he lays a total egg, I think that hurts. That hurts everybody. That hurts the Bears' chances of getting something even decent in trade for him.
Yeah, but he doesn't care about
it.
That.
Hurts. He doesn't care about that. But who knows if there's going to be a team that comes calling for him?
There'll be a team that comes calling.
They'll come calling for him, but they'll say, "Hey, listen, you got to cut down on that salary of yours."
Well, then they wouldn't call for him,
and then the Bears are going to be stuck with him, and who knows what'll happen? But it'll get messy either way, or he just goes out there and he plays to the best of his ability.
That's what you hope.
Which is what I'm hoping for. We both have Cutler in our top 15, but not in our top 12. We both have Teddy Bridgewater, Mark Sanchez, and Ryan Tannehill. Him too? Yes, Ryan Tannehill, all ahead of Jay Cutler. So if you picked up one of those guys to start over Cutler when he was benched last week, stick with him. Matt Forte is a start. Alshon Jeffrey is a start. Do you trust Martellus Bennett, or do you just kind of shrug and say, well,
I start Bennett.
He's top 12 by default for me. I don't really want to, but I would if I had to.
I think he'll play well. I mean, he's been better more times than not down the stretch this year, which is a surprise given his previous.
Is that right?
Well, he had the game against Dallas.
I think he's only had like two really good games.
Yeah, he had the drops against New Orleans, which was bad. And then last week I threw out because it wasn't Cutler.
You know, right. Throw that out because Cutler didn't throw.
But, I mean, Charles Clay just went for 100 yards against this team. Yeah. And Bennett's a better talent.
Since week five, he does have three games with double digits in fantasy points. Since week five, two of them have come in his last four, three with Cutler. So it would make sense that he could actually bounce back a little bit. It's a matter of whether or not he can score or, you know, what have you. I don't know if the matchup is really that good for him. Minnesota's got some pretty good safeties, and they've done a decent job against tight ends, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. What about Teddy Bridgewater? I like him this week because I think he's been playing well. I love that he's not freaking out when the pocket collapses on him, and I think the matchup is a piece of cake.
I think it's a piece of cake. I just wonder if the score is an issue. And what I mean by that is Asiata gets a touchdown, he throws one, they get a field goal, turnover.
Defensive touchdown.
I mean, just something.
And then all of a sudden it's 24-0.
20-7, something along those lines, and he's not throwing the ball all over the place. Now, clearly, this is still a developmental stage for him, so I don't think they're going to just, you know, say, okay, hand the ball off to Matt Asiata 15 times, and let's get out of here.
They might if it's the fourth quarter and it's like that.
Yeah, I think his floor to me is 18 points. He doesn't have that high of a ceiling, though. So
He's
been 18 points four games in a row at home. He's been 17 or more points in, I think it's four of his last five or something like that. Mm-hmm. So he's been very consistently good. He just hasn't been consistently great. So it's just a matter of how great he can be. But I think he's a borderline starter.
Okay. Asiata, to me, is a top 12 running back. I think he can score. The Bears have allowed seven touchdowns to running backs in their last four games. And that defense is probably thrown in the towel a little bit. And Asiata is kind of in the same situation as Jay Cutler. Probably not going to be a starting running back for Minnesota next season. So he's trying to get the best numbers he can while he can get them.
Would you be surprised, though, if they just come back with the same two guys and then add some?
With McKinnon and Asiata? No, that wouldn't be surprising. And they might not even draft a guy. Maybe they like Banyard enough to have him there. Plus, they've got to get rid of Adrian Peterson. Your favorite Vikings receiver this week?
I think this is actually going to be one of Charles Johnson's best games. Because he's still been there in terms of targets. And last week he got, I think, a lot of Brent Grimes. Mm-hmm. Which is probably why his numbers were what they were. I don't know this to be factual, but I'm just assuming.
Sure.
So I just think it's almost like, you know, he's going to have a lot of open space to run in. And this is kind of one of those showcase games.
Yeah.
So I like him the best. I think Jennings will be second best. Jairus Wright's kind of been a product of when one of the other two guys doesn't do well or has been hurt. So I would stay away from him. And without Rudolph, I mean, those are the three guys they're going to lean on.
At least six targets in all but one of his last six games for Johnson. Catches haven't really been consistent. In fact, they dropped off big time last week. He only had 3 for 38, but that might have been because of Brent Grimes. Hasn't scored since week 14 at home against the Jets. That was his last home game. He had over 100 yards in that game. Bears pass defense stinks. So he is certainly a boom or bust type play this week. I think Jennings is a little bit safer. He's scored more frequently and might be his last game in a Vikings uniform. Might be his last game, period.
You don't think he comes back?
I don't know if he comes back. I don't know if he's worth the salary that he's due. You know, he's an old man out there on the field. He got all this playing time because no one else could really evolve this season. Cordarrelle Patterson stunk and whatever. I don't think anybody's drafting him next season anyway. I'm expecting a high-scoring game between the Eagles and the Giants, Jamie. How about you?
I think it should be. You know, I mean, I think you know, it's funny because, like, probably 2-3 weeks ago, we would have said, man, I hope the Giants show up because the Eagles are only put up points. Mm-hmm. Now it feels like it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. You know, the Giants should be able to score at will.
This defense is terrible for Philadelphia.
It really is. I mean, it's been bad all season long.
Right. Like, they had moments of
their greatness. Run defense is still good.
It's all right. I think that the Giants are going to be able to just go bombs away, and that could open up some things for Andre Williams if he can finally read the holes and do everything properly like a good running back should. This is his last chance, obviously, to make an impression on the coaching staff and try and prove that he should get at least part of the workload next year.
Oh, I think that's by default. That'll happen by default.
Well, it depends on what they draft and just how free agency shakes out. I'm sure they're going to add at least one more running back. I don't think Rashad Jennings will be back next year. Beckham's I don't think so. Odell Beckham is would you bring him back next year? For $3 million? After he got banged up this year?
It's so cheap.
You can find somebody younger, and I think they will.
Oh, I would agree, but I they're not that type of team, though.
Do you think Eli's a must-start just because of Odell Beckham and how impressive Beckham is, plus the matchup against Philadelphia?
I would say he'd be a good start if Beckham was still in diapers. So, I mean, the defense is bad, you know, and he's got a pretty good history against them. He was bad against them the first time around when they were playing better. So I think you look at it and say, okay, why not? It's really a good situation, good matchup. Like you said, Beckham's playing well. Randall, first time in since week 11 that he had more than five targets, and he benefited from it. If you go back to like the three or four games prior to that stretch, he was seeing regularly 10-plus targets. Mm-hmm. So it's almost as if he got out of the doghouse because it seems as if there was a little bit of a benching going on.
And you like him there. I like him this week.
I like him this week. His last two home games against the Eagles, you know what he's done?
No.
Two touchdowns each of his last two home games against Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So hopefully the targets carry over from 1 week to the next. Good matchup, good history.
Good 1 week play in FanDuel.
Great 1 week play in FanDuel. You know, you just have to hope that the number didn't get bumped up too much because of the big game last week. So I think Randall's, you know, a borderline number two guy. It depends on your risk level in trusting him this week. But this is the kind of guy you look at in week 17 of he's another one playing for playing time next year because they're pretty loaded with their receiving core if everybody's healthy.
The Eagles have allowed 12 rushing touchdowns to running backs on the season. Five have come in the last 2 weeks. They're doing a good job of keeping running backs from getting a lot of yards per carry. They've held running backs to under 4 yards per carry five straight games, but they've allowed a ton of rushing touchdowns over the last, not just the last 2 weeks, but 1, 2, 3, 7 weeks. Six of the last 7 weeks, they've allowed at least one rushing touchdown. They've allowed a bunch of receiving touchdowns. Not that that'll help Andre Williams. I say he gets into the end zone. So yeah, I like him as a number two running back.
I agree with you. After our talk yesterday, I moved him up a little bit. I think it's just kind of also looking at where the running back landscape is. And so he has an opportunity here to step up, play well, do something. I don't know, special, but you know he's in the conversation as a number two running back. He's not a must-start guy to me, but he is start-worthy.
I've got Asiata ahead of him. Do you?
100%.
All right, so Asiata's ahead of him.
And Heron, too.
Dan Heron is ahead of him?
Yeah.
I don't think I've got Heron ahead of him.
To me, that's a better matchup situation.
It's definitely a better matchup.
And so I think there's a little bit more, at least for me, more optimism there.
Heron would need like a long touchdown run, I think, to really beat up on Andre Williams. As far as fantasy production goes, I think Williams has the better chance to score. Plus, Williams won't share the ball nearly as much.
No, but Heron will get more yards.
I think LeSean McCoy could have a good game, too. Last game of the year, maybe pad his stats a little bit. The Giants' run defense is nothing spectacular. You certainly uncovered that myth last week with the Trey Mason start of the week. And I think Philadelphia wants to keep LeSean moving, so that's certainly a guy to look at. Do you trust Mark Sanchez? I know the turnovers were ugly last week, but he still put up numbers in the game.
Is he going to throw 50 times?
Is he going to throw 50 times, and is he going to throw 18 times at Zach Ertz? Because Ertz was a big reason why Sanchez had the game that he had.
Last week, you had a situation where it was a little bit of Jeremy Maclin struggling, which hasn't really happened when he has had easy matchups. Last week was probably one of the easier matchups that he's had that he struggled in. So there was a lot of underneath throws, and that was a good matchup for tight ends. Mm-hmm. This is a good matchup for tight ends, so you have to wonder if Ertz will have another big game, or at least good game. He scored against the Giants last time these two teams met. So there's optimism there for Ertz to play well. I don't know how many people are going to feel comfortable starting him, but, hey, let's hope that he does come through once again. I think it'll be interesting to see how Rodgers, Cromartie, and Maclin match up. I believe Maclin had a huge game against him. I'll check that now.
I've got it right here. Week six, Philadelphia and the Giants played. Foles threw two touchdowns. I don't know who they went to. But 248, 2-2. He finished with 17 fantasy points.
Well, one was to Ertz.
Four of the last five quarterbacks to take on the Giants have had at least 19 fantasy points. That went to Blake Bortles. The only quarterback that struggled against the Giants was the Tennessee duo of Jake Locker and Zach Mettenberger, who combined for four whole fantasy points. So I think Sanchez has a chance, even with some turnovers, to put up some good numbers in this game. I would trust him.
Macklin had a horrible day.
Macklin had a horrible day. I don't have him projected for a big game.
Me neither.
I think he's just going to be okay, maybe more of a third receiver. Kind of bottoming out here down the stretch. And same thing with Jordan Matthews, who really hasn't had a great game in a while, if I recall correctly. Saints-Bucks. You're kind of feeling it with Doug Martin. Do I have that right?
Not really. I mean,
I hate flex. The offensive line for Tampa Bay. They were abused last week.
Yeah, he's like a flex. I mean, this is a Saints team that's probably disinterested because of what's happened to them. I mean, last week had to be deflating. Mm-hmm. So they played better on the road. I don't know what, you know, their motivation is to finish at 500.
Mm-hmm. Probably more motivation than Tampa Bay has.
But Tampa Bay's at home. That's the one thing.
Right. And Lovey's there. It's his first year. He probably wants to make a strong impression and finish strong and all that garbage. But the reality is that if they lose, they clinch the number one pick. And Marcus Mariota is on his way to Tampa Bay.
Right. But this is still Doug Martin, another one of these guys playing for his livelihood next year. Mm-hmm. Who knows where. I have a sneaky feeling he ends up in New England.
Doug Martin?
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
I really do. I don't know why. Just feel like he's going to either get traded or cut. He's still a talented guy that's just playing on a bad team.
Yeah, the offensive line is definitely part of the problem there. He also is part of the problem. There's no question about it. Mark Ingram, I think, is the safest start in this game. He's had at least 11 fantasy points in 5 of 6 road games this year. And the game when he didn't do it was against Detroit, so you can understand that. Tampa Bay's run defense isn't very good. Their pass defense is getting better, so I don't love Drew Brees, believe it or not. I know that we're supposed to fawn all over him, but I would be nervous to start him this week.
Not me. I feel like he comes out and just throws the ball over the place. This is one of those I'm padding my stats type games. Mm-hmm. So I have a feeling it's here's what I did at the end of the season, blah, blah, blah. I think he's going to chuck it everywhere.
Do you think that's bad for Mark Ingram? Would you be nervous to start
him? No, I'm starting Mark Ingram, but he's not even a top 15. I would start Heron over him.
Wow.
And Asiata.
No chance. I'm going Ingram over both of those guys. Josh McCown, you're not going to start. Mike Evans, blew him off the ropes with him.
He's been terrible. Yeah. He hasn't had 50 yards receiving now in 5 straight games.
And the offensive line, I really think the offensive line could just harpoon everything for Tampa Bay, so I'm not feeling good about any of those guys. Please sit Josh McCown. Dallas at Washington. Cowboys do have something to play for. If they win, they have a chance to get a bye. But they would need Arizona and Seattle to both lose in order to get that bye.
Mm-hmm. They can still get the number one seed.
Call me crazy. Yeah. Call me crazy, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Seattle's going to lose to St. Louis. I don't think Arizona's going to. Arizona might lose to San Francisco.
Arizona has a better chance of losing.
Right. But look, Seattle at home against St.
Louis is still beating Seattle once. Mm-hmm. So it is possible. They have the formula to beat Seattle, which is they could smash their defense. They smash their offense as much as Seattle does to opposing teams. And you could see a situation where Trey Mason, look, last time he ran well against them. He hasn't run well on the road, but it could happen.
DeMarco Murray, I think, is a little nerve-wracking to me. I'm not sure he's going to get his full workload.
Yeah, I agree.
I know that you went back or you were watching the game last week, and you said that Murray didn't look healthy playing.
No, I mean, if you say 22 carries for DeMarco Murray, you're talking about a buck 10 at least.
Right.
And he had 78 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. They gave him a touchdown. The one thing that I think is going to happen is he's, I don't know how many yards within Emmitt Smith's single-season rushing
record.
He's
close to it.
They're going to get him that. I wonder once he gets that, depending on how the game flow is going, then he's out of the game. Mm-hmm. So he can still score in that regard. I have him too. I have him 12. I'm going to bump him down a little bit. But I think it's just one of those situations where he is not a slam dunk. Now the question becomes, do you trust Joseph Randle because of this? If you're stuck, maybe daily fantasy leagues, you want to take a gamble on somebody like Randle because the price tag will be low.
Yeah.
But I would imagine if any sort of fourth quarter situation, unless it's a close game, you're going to see Randle in there. So whether they're losing big or winning big, you're going to see a lot of Joseph Randle because they need Murray healthy, especially if they're not going to get a bye.
Mm-hmm. They need to. I agree. It wouldn't be a surprise if he was actually inactive for the game.
That I'd be surprised because I think they want to get him the record. I think that's
how many yards away is he? You want to check?
I'll check. But it's not much.
Yeah, and the matchup isn't isn't bad. I know that the numbers have been great for Washington all year, but last week the wheels really came off. They lost another linebacker in Trent Murphy. The defensive line is all sorts of banged up, and Dallas's offensive line is healing. So I think that the Cowboys are going to be able to run the ball quite well, and of course they're going to be able to throw the ball. Romo's probably the hottest quarterback in fantasy. He's got at least three passing touchdowns
each
of the last three games. They could really lean on him and just let him just chuck it at Dez. If I recall, Dez did not have a great game against Washington earlier this year.
Nobody did.
And Bashaud Breeland really had his number. I bet they go after him, and Dez kind of shows him who's boss. I think Jason Witten can have a pretty good game.
I think
Witten could be fine.
29 yards away.
That's a cakewalk.
Well, not necessarily. He only had 58 yards rushing. Sorry, it wasn't 70. Yeah. It was 58.
Okay. So he 15 carries. He should be able to get that record.
Okay, so now you know DeMarco Murray is getting 15 carries. You starting him?
Yeah.
Okay. So then that settles anything that we need to talk about.
I don't hate Alfred Morris this week, especially if Orlando McClain is out for the Dallas Cowboys.
As long as RG3 starts.
As long as RG3. It's interesting how that has worked out.
Not really. I mean, running quarterbacks open up lanes.
Yeah, but he doesn't run as much as he used to.
He runs enough.
I don't know if the threat is real. But whatever, it's working. I'm taking it. I'm not questioning it. DeSean Jackson is the only other Washington player I would trust, although he does not have a great track record against Dallas.
We scored against them this year.
He did?
Hmm.
You sure?
Hmm. Pretty sure.
Okay. So what about other?
That was one of the, I think actually you brought it up, was games on turf. You're at him.
And the podcast comes to a screeching halt as I go back and check. DeSean Jackson had 6 for 136 against
yards.
Dallas. Yeah, 130 yards. Nothing to sneeze at, but I think that was his best game in a while against Dallas. Listen, I'm going to start him anyway. Typical boomer bust guy. You know what you're getting with him, and you know that RG3, one of the things that RG3 can do very well is throw it deep, and DeSean Jackson can catch it.
Last week's game, you know, I think we both expected him to play well, but RG3's two best passes were downfield throws to DeSean Jackson, which, by the way, one of them, he sort of tailed off. The throw tailed off toward the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of DeSean catching it and cutting it upfield, he kind of just caught it and lazily walked out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
He turned it upfield, it was a touchdown.
I've got DeSean Jackson ahead of Jeremy Maclin.
Yep.
I've got DeSean Jackson ahead of Marcus Colston. DeSean Jackson ahead of DeAndre Hopkins. And as of now, DeSean Jackson is ahead of Brandon LaFell, but I might actually change my tune on that come Sunday.
I mean, I don't like LaFell at all this week.
I'll tell you why on Friday. I'll explain why I think LaFell is actually a sneaky play. But that'll come later in the week. Now, I want to tell you about Squarespace. And I originally wanted to try and do this without actually looking at my notes for Squarespace, but I think I would totally butcher it. Today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, where you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio. Did you know that, Jamie?
I've heard that before.
It's now redesigned with Squarespace 7, which includes integration with Google Apps, partnership with Getty Images, 15 new templates, and something called?
I don't know.
Cover Pages, Jamie. Cover Pages. It has an amazing support team that works how many hours a day?
I don't know.
24 hours a day. And how many days a week?
7.
Yes. And it starts at how much per month?
I don't know.
$8. $8 a month, and it includes a free domain name when you sign up for a year. And it looks great. Your website, when you build it, it comes out looking sharp on any mobile experience, any desktop experience. You could probably put it on a billboard, and it'll look awesome. But it's hard for people to click around on a billboard because it's way up high, and usually they're driving by anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You can start a free trial with no credit card required. Build your website today. It's a good time, and it's easy for you to do. And when you sign up with Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code FUN. It gets you 10% off. I should have quizzed Jamie on that. And you can show your support for the Fantasy Football Today podcast by signing up at Squarespace. Start here. Go anywhere. I'm going to save the Carolina-Atlanta game for last, Jamie, because that's the one with the most playoff implications. But the Detroit-Green Bay game has plenty of playoff intrigue as well.
Okay.
I'm worried that Detroit's going to go into Green Bay and lay a total egg.
I'm starting to feel that way.
I
agree with you.
And tack on just how well that defense has been playing, at least getting after the quarterback. Maybe last week that was just a byproduct of Tampa Bay's bad offensive line. But Detroit lost center Dominic Raiola. That's going to be something that the Packers will absolutely attack. That will slow down Matthew Stafford. And, you know, Stafford did have a great game once upon a time in Green Bay. I heard this on Sirius XM NFL radio yesterday. He has only played 5 games in the cold in his career. He has 7 touchdowns in those 5 games. Now, a bunch of them came at Green Bay in this mythical game several years ago at Lambeau when it was Matthew Stafford against Matt Flynn. I don't know. I'm not feeling the Lions. I think I have Joique Bell ranked too high. I think I've got Reggie Bush ranked too high. I think I've got Calvin Johnson ranked too high. But yet somehow I've got Matthew Stafford outside of my top 10 at quarterback.
I think you'll get numbers from Stafford. They will just won't be great numbers. You'll get – I think Calvin does fine. There's no way I'm bet. You look at Calvin, what was it, the 2 weeks ago? Or no, the Thanksgiving Day game. When weren't they sputtering a little bit coming into that game?
They were, but they played the Bears.
No, I get it. I get it. But he had a huge game, and he made some ridiculous catches.
It's true.
And I think he's going to just – if I'm Calvin Johnson, which I don't think this is a personality, I just go up to Stafford and say, just give me Zach Ertz. Give me Zach Ertz numbers. Throw it at me 18 times.
Me like crazy.
Just I'm going to win this game for us. And put it on me. I don't care if there's 3 guys on me, 2 guys on me. Just put it – just throw it in my direction 100 times.
This is a very rare opportunity for Detroit when you think
about it. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely.
You know, when's the last time they were in a situation like this? And, you know, the question is Stafford going to be able to take that next step and help them clinch a playoff bye and advance to the second round of the playoffs and really improve their chances at making a Super Bowl run? It's going to take them winning this game for sure, obviously, but – you know, as much as we can sit here and hyperbolize about that, the reality of the situation is that Green Bay always plays tougher at home. It's a big advantage for them playing at Lambeau than it is for Detroit, and it's going to be a tough game for them. So you're right. I think Calvin should do something like that and just say, put it on me. And I think the coaches should say, just throw it to Calvin 15 times. So it makes sense to have him ranked where we have him ranked, which is still in the top 5. But I'm a little nervous about it. Could Golden Tate be a sleeper this week, or are you worried about him?
I think we know who Golden Tate is at this point, which he's had a better year than probably most people expected. A lot of that had to do probably with Calvin getting hurt. So he's been good. He's been kind of one of those DeAndre Hopkins. He's better than Jordan Matthews. DeAndre Hopkins.
Like one of those like 9 fantasy point guys.
Yeah, just Brandon LaFell, Edelman. You know, just a guy that you kind of, okay, I this may be a good week, it may be a bad week, but there's so much potential there in this offense, I'm going to start him. So I think you kind of just stick with him if he's been one of those contributors for you. But it's not a slam dunk because I think if that happens with Calvin, you'll get a safe 8 from Golden Tate. You probably won't get a 15.
I hear you. I still have him in my top 24 because ultimately I do think that Detroit will have to throw in this game. And if Calvin draws all that coverage, at least now the Lions do have somebody else to go to, and Golden Tate could make a difference in the game. Green Bay's offense. Eddie Lacy's been running very well. I know he's a little bit banged up, and I know the matchup's tough. How quickly – I think you just have to roll the dice with him and start him. You'd have to be really loaded at running back. You'd have to be the owner that picked up C.J. Anderson along the way, along with another stud back to sit Eddie Lacy at this point. The one other guy we can go back and forth on is Jonathan Stewart. I would probably take Stewart over Lacy if I knew that D'Angelo wasn't going to play.
I don't care. I'm still
you're going to go with
Stewart over Lacy.
Yeah, I won't do that. But other than that, I think
Lacy's
going to
have a little bit of a tough time.
I think he's going to have a tough time, too, because I think the backbone of this Detroit team is its defense, and it's specifically their run defense. Their pass defense is good, too, but I could see them being overwhelmed. They need to get after Aaron Rodgers. It's as simple as that. And if they can't do that, then they're not going to win the game. That's where the game is really going to be won. That and whether or not Matthew Stafford turns the ball over. That's the game.
Right. My other concern with Lacy is he's now hip injury, whatever leg injury he had last week, the eye injury, that do they let him kill the clock in the fourth quarter? Because I don't think they do. And I wouldn't if I were them.
But that's assuming they've got a pretty good lead in the fourth quarter.
They'll have a lead in the fourth
quarter. Because it's Green Bay. That's just how it is. Yeah, I have a hard time believing that Aaron Rodgers is going to turn into a pumpkin here.
No, he's going to be awesome.
You figure this. We've seen Rodgers in this situation. We haven't seen Stafford in this type of game before. We've seen Rodgers before, and he rises to the occasion.
Last year, he was coming back from the collarbone. It was against Chicago.
It was a playoff game.
It was in Chicago, right?
It was in Chicago.
Right. And he has the big touchdown pass at the end to Randall Cobb.
Right, and he had a good game all the way around, and then he went into the playoffs and did his thing. So, yeah, I think your Packers are pretty much starters across the board. I don't have any big-time secret tight end sleeper in this game. I would not use the Lions DST, hashtag Aaron Rodgers. Arizona at San Francisco. The Cardinals are still in contention for a bye, but it would take Seattle losing and I think Dallas losing now, too. No, it's just Seattle losing. If they win and Seattle loses, they've got a bye, correct? Ooh. Arizona.
If Arizona wins, they have a bye, yeah. The winner of the NFC West has a bye.
Right. But Seattle's in the lead for that right now.
Right.
So Seattle has to lose. Arizona has to win. That's how they get a bye.
Right.
They're playing at the same time, so I don't
well,
think
they
the
both
Cardinals
can because one's
take...
a wild card. The loser is a wild card.
They're both playing at the same time. I'm not saying they both can get a bye.
Right.
That would be weird.
Right.
That would break the laws of NFL physics.
I didn't know
physics.
Where you were going. Sure.
Trust me, I barely know where I'm going. Is there a Cardinals player that you want to start this week?
No. I think Michael Floyd has an opportunity here because he's been getting some, you know, opportunities down the field. Made a nice catch on Richard Sherman last week. Mm-hmm. And Logan Thomas has a big arm. They brought him in for one play last week. It was I like the way they diagrammed it on the game. They called it the John Elway play, where Elway used to run right, throw left, but, like, downfield throwing left, which
is the
hardest throw in the NFL to make.
Yes.
And that was the play that was dialed up for Thomas, except he got hit when he threw it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who was targeted, who he was targeting on that play, though, unfortunately. But I think Michael Floyd is still their most dynamic receiver. And I know John Brown's had some moments this year, and I know Jaren Brown's had some moments. Fitzgerald, to me, is not even close to being in that conversation for his receiver, for these receivers, especially with his knee problem.
I don't know if he'll even be on the team next year. He'll have to take a major pay cut to stay.
Yeah, that's the writing on the wall right now. He's due like $26 million next year.
That's crazy.
So that's not going to happen. But my guess is along the same lines as Frank Gore, Trent Baalke said that they want him back next year, which is surprising. You could see both these guys back in sort of reduced roles to stay with their respective teams. In any event, I think Michael Floyd's an okay third receiver, but nobody's a must-start guy.
Kerwin Williams?
He's an okay flex.
Okay flex, right.
But you have to assume that he's going to get the job back. Because last week they went completely away from him.
They went away from the run, ultimately.
But they still stuck with Stephon Taylor getting carries.
Do you think that's just because Taylor's the better pass protector, so he was in the game more
without,
often?
Without a doubt.
So they had to mix it up and they gave him a few runs.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that.
I don't know if it'll be the same situation this week, which is why I kind of don't mind Kerwin Williams. But obviously you're taking a chance with him if you go with him. 49ers, I like Gore. I know it sounds crazy.
Even though their run defense has been good?
Yeah, Arizona's run defense has been good. I think that I don't know how effective that Arizona offense will be, and I think they could turn the ball over a couple times with Logan Thomas, and it'll lead to some opportunities for San Francisco.
My concern with this is that throughout last week's game, because Seattle's a much better team than Arizona right now.
Okay.
They did a good job against Trey Mason in St. Louis. They're the only team to do a good job against Trey Mason in St. Louis. I would take Trey Mason's talent level over Frank Gore's talent level right now.
Sure.
San Francisco's a bad team.
Yes.
If you take away Frank Gore's big run against San Diego last week, what has he done?
Well, what would he have done last week without the big run?
Well, he still ran well, but it was also the first game without Carlos Hyde, which I don't think Hyde's going to play.
I don't right. That's obviously a big part of it.
Right.
Hyde ends up playing.
So
of course, I'm not going to
I think Gore is an okay start.
Like a number two running back.
Yeah, I think he's a top 20 guy. He's not a top 15 guy for me.
And he has 25 for 103.
Last week?
That long run. Right.
Which is great.
I mean, you would take that.
Absolutely.
But I feel like that's kind of close to his ceiling this week, which puts him in the number two running back conversation.
Yeah. Like, I think, like, again, I'll start Heron over him. I was just looking at it since we talked. I moved Ingram up. You're right about that. I'd start Asiata over him. I would start Alfred Morris over him. I would start Chris Ivory over him.
I have him too high.
He's in the conversation with Chris Joique Bell, who's got a tough matchup. But
10 fantasy points.
Yep. But, like, here's where it would be an interesting discussion. Latavius Murray's matchup, which is better, or Frank Gore. Fred Jackson, who's been more consistent, tough matchup, but who knows what New England's defense is,
right?
Or Frank Gore.
Right.
Lamar Miller, tough matchup, or Frank Gore. And then Andre Williams, or Frank Gore.
Yeah, it's a mess. If I had to handicap all those guys, I'll put Heron ahead of Gore. I'll put Lamar Miller and Chris Ivory ahead of Gore.
You like Miller this week?
I do. I have a feeling that the Dolphins are finally trusting him again. And he'll catch passes. I don't think that that's going to go away. I've got Gore a spot ahead of Latavius Murray. I've got Gore with 10 fantasy points and Murray with 9.
I have the exact same thing.
Fred Jackson's behind these guys. Mm-hmm. A bunch of other scrubs are behind these
But you're
guys.
Starting Gore or Andre Williams?
Andre Williams over Gore.
That's interesting. I start Gore.
Okay. But it's a close call. I think there's more upside with Andre Williams, and I think it's more likely that Andre Williams scores than Frank Gore. I did project them both for a touchdown, so mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me if they both scored. But I don't think Frank Gore is running 52 yards for a touchdown. So if he's averaging 4-ish yards per carry, 4 to 5, which is what he had last week without that run. Mm-hmm. He had about 4 yards per carry last week without that run. It's fine. It's all good. Colin Kaepernick, big game last week. Not ready to trust him this week.
No, he's not getting a 90-yard touchdown run.
Anquan Boldin?
No.
Vernon Davis?
He'll have the Zach Ertz game mm-hmm. where no one expects it, and he plays well. He did have a touchdown that was called back last week. It was a vintage Vernon Davis-type play. Passed on the sideline, showed his athleticism,
yep.
Broke tackle, got into the end zone. Call back on a holding call.
I am positive we will find out what happened to him once the offseason starts. It might even happen in the locker room in week 16, like right when everything's done.
Maybe.
That he'll just start going off on everything. Jamie FanDuel has its last Sunday million this week.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's $2.5 million guaranteed
mm-hmm.
for a $25 entry, which means they're paying out more places. And they are the leaders in payouts in one-week fantasy football leagues. We've got a code. It is CBSWIN, W-I-N. When you go to FanDuel.com, maybe you're out of it. Maybe your fantasy league season is over. And you're just listening to us for fun because we're part of your habitual learning time and listening experience. And you want to keep playing some fantasy and maybe have a chance to win some cash. Well, how does $200,000 sound? That sounds pretty good to me. I believe that's what first prize is. In this week's tournament, it might be $250,000. I'm not exactly sure. But either way, I'm pretty sure you would love to have it. All you need to do is set the best lineup possible under a $60,000 salary that FanDuel sets, and each player's got a salary. You've got to make it work under $60,000. And once you do that, you're on your way. And if you pick the right players, you've won some cash, and it'll be an extra special holiday for you. You just go to FanDuel.com. And if you're new to them, sign up using promo code CBSWIN. They will match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. That's a pretty good deal. It just takes a while for you to get that bonus. But if you're successful, you'll be playing FanDuel for a while. And they do more than just football. You can play basketball, hockey. When the baseball season starts, I'm sure everybody will be over there playing fantasy baseball on a night-to-night basis. And that'll be a lot of fun. It's FanDuel, FanDuel.com. Promo code CBSWIN. Jamie, the St. Louis Rams will take on the Seattle Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say take on, I mean be a sacrificial lamb. Because I think Seattle is just clicking on both sides of the ball. They are the most dangerous team in the NFL, in my opinion. And I think they've got a pretty good chance, if they can stay healthy through the playoffs, to repeat as Super Bowl champions, which I think would be actually kind of fun. Russell Wilson's been playing great. He had a monster game against St. Louis when he played him in St. Louis earlier this season. 40 fantasy points in that game, over 100 yards rushing. I think the formula is going to stay the same. They're an execution offense. They're just going to keep doing what they do, which is running as much as they can. Timely passing is definitely a part of their game. I think Lynch and Russell Wilson are obvious must-starts. Doug Baldwin, Luke Wilson, I'm getting questions about those guys. How do you feel about them against St. Louis?
I think Baldwin's a borderline starter. Luke Wilson, I wouldn't touch.
Mm-hmm.
You know my feelings on the Rams and how they defend tight ends.
They are very good against defending tight ends.
So. There's one guy that's gotten double digits of fantasy points against them this year.
Who's that?
Cooper Helfitt. So this is the team that's done it.
But you're not going to trust a tight end. And Helfitt's banged up. Moyaki's banged up.
No, it's only Luke Wilson.
It would only be Luke Wilson, who's a fine actor. We loved him in Legally Blonde. St. Louis Rams. Do you like a single Rams player in this game?
No.
Let's move on then to our last NFC game of the week between the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons. Cam Newton has an excellent track record against this Falcons team. So forget about the fact that they've got a bad defense anyway. The fact that Cam Newton can play well against them and knows what he's going up against, and it's a big game for him, I think he's in a position to put up mucho fantasy points this
week. Yeah, he's our start of the week this week. So,
He's top five for me at quarterback.
Me too.
I think he's an easy top five.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Stewart, we talked about him a little bit earlier. You don't care if D'Angelo
plays. No, I can't imagine that they're going back to him in anything more than a...
Right, but if he takes 10 touches away from Jonathan Stewart, that's still 10 touches.
They can't be that stupid.
I don't want to say anything bad about anybody. I hope you're right. It would make sense that they just lean heavily on Jonathan Stewart. He is their best running back. I felt like the touchdown he caught last week was very fortuitous. He was
still
just right place,
yards
right
rushing.
Time. Still had over 100 yards rushing. Still had a pretty big game. And Atlanta's defense is terrible. So if you think Carolina has a chance to run the ball and do what they do, which I think they will, then Jonathan Stewart is for you and should be a must-start in your fantasy lineup. Kelvin Benjamin has been very boomer bustish. I like the matchup for him, too. I don't think that there's a member of the Falcons secondary that can hang with him, and I believe he had a big game against them.
He did.
Earlier this year.
He did. It was two of the worst back-to-back games for Trufant when he faced Benjamin and Josh Gordon in back-to-back weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So Benjamin did a great job against him. He's just too physical for Trufant.
Let's talk about the Falcons. Steven Jackson, I don't want to touch. I think the Panthers' run defense has really turned the corner.
They actually signed a running back today.
Yeah, they signed, I can't remember who it is. It's a guy who was with them. Ronnie Wingo. I think he was with them earlier.
They signed Jerome Smith.
Oh, I thought they got Ronnie Wingo.
No, Jerome Smith off their practice squad.
Okay, so that might be a sign that Steven Jackson will not be ready, which would then open the door for Devontae Freeman. So let's just lay out that scenario. Let's just say that Steven Jackson, quad injury, keeps him out this week. Devontae Freeman, Jacquizz Rodgers would probably split the rushing workload. But we know what Quiz is.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you rank Devontae Freeman if Steven Jackson's out? How confident would you be in starting
him? I would put him right now. I have Kerwin Williams 24. I probably would put Freeman 24.
I would put him ahead of Kerwin Williams
as
well.
I wouldn't. I'd start
Williams. Oh, really?
Yep. I think Williams would get more work. Freeman is, look, you know, for what it's worth, the Panthers have done a very good job against the run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't overlook that. So I think Freeman would have an opportunity to get 80 to 90 total yards. Will he score? I don't know. I mean, you know, is he more talented in his situation than Isaiah Crowell? Probably say yes, but not by much.
Mm.
They shut down Crowell last week.
I think he's more talented, plus the receiving skills help him tremendously.
I just don't see him going leaps and bounds better than what Williams can do. I would take Kerwin Williams over.
I don't see it that way. I think he'll have a better game than that. But that's, again, in the event that our boy, Steven Jackson.
You're Mike Smith, are you trusting Devontae Freeman when you know what Jacquizz Rodgers has done for you?
I think Quiz would still be probably like my third down back. But he's been speaking very positively about Devontae Freeman and how he's excelled, not just as a runner, not just as a pass catcher, but as a pass protector. And I think he's mostly happy with what he's gotten out of Devontae Freeman. So it wouldn't surprise me one bit, man, if Freeman went in there. And if I'm looking for 80 total yards, I think he can deliver that. And
I agree.
I don't know if Kerwin can get much better than that with Arizona.
I think he can.
Roddy, Harry Douglas, I know everybody's going to start Julio Jones. I know everybody's going to start Matt Ryan. How do you feel about Roddy White and Harry Douglas? For me, Harry Douglas you can't use.
Nope.
Because everybody's healthy. The track record's pretty clear. Julio looked great last week.
You really did.
He looked great. Good speed. If you sat him, I think you almost have to feel a little lucky if you did, because he had over 100 yards. He had a good game for fantasy. Great game for PPR. It could have been much bigger. It probably should have been.
You benched him one league, right?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I regret it, but I still made some other good choices.
It didn't cost you, but you.
It didn't cost me. I started Kelvin Benjamin ahead of him. Right. That did not work out very well. Panthers defense has been a pretty good play. Oh, Greg Olsen, I think everybody's going to start him.
Mm-hmm.
Panthers defense has been a pretty good play the past few weeks. I don't think you can trust him here.
Nope.
They might get to Matt Ryan a couple of times, but his offensive line's been playing well. You like the Falcons in this game, Jamie?
I'm going back and forth. I actually think I picked the Panthers to win because it just seems like their defense is better. I think both offenses will do fine. The one thing is, I think it's going to come down to who has the ball last, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be one of those games where Falcons give up something late, field goal touchdown late, and it's one of those minute-plus left Ryan drives, and neither he comes through, he doesn't. They just feel like they have the bigger chance to choke than the Panthers do, because the Panthers have kind of very quietly chipped away, and put themselves back in the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as the Falcons have looked, even in the loss to the Packers, the Panthers have just very quietly snuck back into this thing, and it just they feel better. I don't know what it is. They just feel better.
It feels like they're actually, first of all, they definitely feel like the best team in the NFC South.
Well, I think if you're looking at, you're breaking it down, you would say quarterback, there's a slight edge right now for Ryan,
mm-hmm.
just because of his ability, health, all those things. But Cam is not far off. Running games, they're probably negligible, but you give the edge to the Panthers because of the way Stewart has run by comparison to the other guy.
Right.
The receiving core clearly is in favor of Atlanta, but that's contingent on Julio Jones, which it seems like he's healthy. Offensive line is kind of the same. I mean, you know, both these teams really have bad offensive line play for the majority of the season. I think Atlanta's has come along a little bit better. But defensively, Carolina's defense has just really turned the corner. They've taken all the hits that they've dealt with, the secondary, losing what's his name up front with the off-field thing. Why am I blanking on his name?
Hardy.
And they just kind of come together. You know, I mean, we sat up there Thursday night. I forget what week it was in. And it was – they were facing
New Orleans.
Yeah, they're facing New Orleans. Mark Heron was our start of the week. Mm-hmm. And Will Brinson, who was follows the Panthers as much as anybody living in Carolina, said, they're done. They're going with a youth movement. You know, they were, what, 3 wins at that point. Mm-hmm. Cam was miserable. And he said, they're mailing it in. They're looking at draft picks, all this stuff. And right from that point on.
They did the opposite.
They may have mailed it in from a personnel standpoint, but mm-hmm. these young guys have stepped up.
And the rest of the division kept losing. So all of a sudden. Here they are winning, and they're in good shape.
I would say it would be a slam dunk if it was in Carolina.
It would be a slam dunk if it was in Carolina. But it's not, and I still think the Panthers can win. Okay, that is half of the Week 17 NFL slate. The other half will come at you on Friday. We will go over Philip Rivers and why we differ on him. We'll talk about Ben Roethlisberger's chances against Cincinnati in a game for the AFC North and what to make of Andrew Luck and whether or not he will sit against the Tennessee Titans. And if we can get through that series of games rather quickly, we can take some emails. So keep them coming, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Jamie Eisberg, I'm Dave Richard. Thanks for coming out.
Bye.